Glad you're with us on a Tuesday morning. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. Just revel in his excellence. Just bask in the glow that comes from the Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes, because he's going to be around for a while.
Patrick Mahomes got stupid dumb paid yesterday. And you know what? It was one of those rare moments. Like, oh, we spend a lot of time in the world of sports, and we will today, talking about contracts and what they mean and the ramifications and the specifics of all of it. But man, I saw Dominique Foxworth tweet this yesterday, and it's so true. There is always just something uniquely satisfying about watching someone playing sports getting paid at that level. Like, just because you know how hard it is and how often you get fighting on the other side and the back and forth. And it's just like, nah, everyone saw the simple thing. The best player in the sport at the best position in the sport got paid an exorbitant amount of money. And all we can do is look at it and be happy and celebrate. Like, what a time.
Yeah, there are so many levels of this thing to get into. But the thing that struck me first and foremost, as I, you know, as the news was processing, and Adam Schefter, as he does, breaks the news. Again, quick story, years ago, Adam broke the trade of Donovan McNabb traded to Washington from Philadelphia in April, and I texted him, good job, and his response was, thanks, Trey, live for these stories, kill for them. So he continues to live for these stories and kill for them and break them. But, you know, you're processing all the news that happened as in real time as it's coming in, and then we saw it was a 10-year deal, we were guessing the numbers, and then we got the numbers, and then, you know, Adam put out the words, richest contract in sports history. And I understand from a couple of things that we need to qualify there. Obviously, there's potential for this thing not to be fully guaranteed. So we throw that into the situation. But Mike Golic Jr., what if I told you there would be a time in this country where the richest valued contract in sports was not an NBA contract? It was not an MLB contract. It was a bleeping NFL contract. The significance of that to me is overwhelming.
It is rare, and we talk about this all the time, rare that we get to see that kind of investment in an NFL player, and especially
Correct.
Over a long term. And we understand there are a bunch of specifics and a bunch of outs, but just even the idea that a team, because make no mistake, this is the part that benefits the team, the idea of the longevity there, that a team would look at a player, a football player in a sport so violent where injury is so prevalent, and year to year, the product tends to be a lot less steady than its NBA or MLB counterparts. Right. An NFL team looked at an NFL player and said, we want a decade's worth of that. And we all said, yeah, of course you would. It's Patrick freaking Mahomes.
That is the part that I cannot get past, the significance of that, because you're right. Aaron bleeping Rodgers just watched his replacement be drafted in April, and all according to plan, right? Unless Jordan Love completely bombs out, and then the Packers will have to do, yeah, we totally messed that up. But that was the plan. Everyone knew this was coming from day one. Do you remember the first interview that Alex Smith had after Patrick Mahomes showed up? And Alex Smith was coming off his best season in 2016. He was playing very, very well. And the absolute resignation in his voice from the, like, well, obviously, you know, I'm out of here. He knew, like, from the first OTA with Patrick Mahomes that this thing was moving in a way that he had no chance of stopping it.
First off, Alex Smith's got to have his own version of trauma surrounding that kind of
that kind of
format when it comes to his NFL career.
So does your dad, God's green earth.
I was going to say,
I'm surprised we haven't played it yet.
God's green earth in this thing, but I think you also heard, and I saw there was an article in The Ringer. I wish I remembered who it was by. Basically saying that Brett Veach, the general manager there, had been talking about this extension and this deal since Pat was a rookie. They knew very early on, and our own Lewis Riddick was basking in glory yesterday on SportsCenter talking about how this has been a long time coming.
This is something that was, you know, a long time in the making. From the very first time that he actually stepped foot in Kansas City and stepped onto the practice field, General Manager Brett Veach and Head Coach Andy Reid knew that they had something special from the very first day. I remember talking to Brett on the phone, and he said, Lewis, if you saw what this guy is doing in practice right now in minicamp, you would know that we've absolutely hit the jackpot on this. And this is really the culmination of what happens when you have the perfect fit between truly, truly a transcendent talent in Pat Mahomes and a coach like Andy Andy Reid and an offensive coordinator like Eric Bieniemy and a quarterback coach like Mike Kafka, and you get it all together and you bring it along at the perfect pace to where he gets to sit behind a guy like Alex Smith and then take over for Alex Smith, and then they surround him with the kind of weapons, they draft perfectly, they're really smart in free agency, and then they combine it all together and you have the sponsorship of the front office and the coaching staff along with the player, and then you just unleash it on the NFL.
Pat Mahomes' contract is what everybody's talking about. What everybody's talking about is brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant for the ultimate protection and shine in no time. So there's that part of this revelation that it is an NFL player, which is the most, for lack of a better term, the most disposable commodity in big-time sports in this country, is that we're going to pay you until we don't think you are worth our time anymore. And most of these contracts are not guaranteed past the signing bonus, which, by the way, the signing bonus alone was $63 million, fully guaranteed right there. $63 million just to sign I, Patrick Mahomes, to accept this massive amount of money.
And we'll get into the specifics of it, but to be able to command that much power, because the slow trickle of news yesterday was so exciting.
I was overloaded.
I almost broke my phone trying to refresh my feed as Adam Schefter was slowly working through and getting out all the details here, because it's a 10-year extension. Like, he is tied up with the Chiefs. He is now one of four players in North American sports that is tied to their team, in theory, into the 2030s. Like, let that sink in. Patrick Mahomes is one of four athletes and definitely the only football player that is tied to his team into the 2030s in all of this. He is, what, $10 million a year higher than the last highest average per year of Russell Wilson at $35 million a year. Pat's now, over the life of this contract, averaging $45 million a year on what ultimately became a 10-year extension worth up to $503 million. You understand that's if he hits all of the various incentives in there, which, starting in 2022, he's got a $1.25 million incentive for winning the AFC Championship game, $1.25 million incentive for winning the MVP, $25 million in incentives in 10 years, taking the value up to $477 million.
Yeah. Let that sink in.
Just let it all sink in. And so I guess this is one of the rare moments where it's easy. And I think the last time it felt like this is when Aaron Rodgers was up for his last contract, where you went,
correct,
okay, a quarterback with, and this, but I guess this is the beautiful part in all of this, is that was the last time it made perfect sense. All right, quarterback that we all agree is otherworldly great is coming up at a time where they can receive a payday, and we all agree that it should happen that way. The hilarious part about these numbers is it's an extension. It's not like what we're talking about, where Kirk Cousins got to test true free agency, where we hope Dak Prescott might get to have that moment for himself coming up on this, and the effect for guys like Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson isn't exactly what everyone wants to make it out to be right now.
Correct.
But at the very least, like, we hope that for Dak Prescott, because we are so tantalized by the idea of a quarterback, one actually in their prime, a top 10 level quarterback, hitting the open market and seeing what they can become. This was not even anywhere near the open market. We knew that. We thought this might wait another season before this deal got done. And they said, nope, we're just going to back up a free agent style level Brinks truck on this guy. And everyone's going to look at it and nod in agreement.
Well, that's the thing, right? First of all, he got paid in a pandemic. All right?
That alone,
think about that for a minute. Like, everyone is in, I don't know, can we afford to do this? Can we afford to do this? They decided to throw the richest valued contract in sports history at Patrick Mahomes, who was nowhere near free agency, in the middle of a pandemic. That is the ultimate flex. That is the ultimate, I'm just better than everyone.
I think it's just a testament to the idea that we see pretty often come up in the world of football, which is you're better off being early on that position because it's going to allow you to feel, we'll figure everything else out from there. If the most important position in football, the one that we all agree is the most difficult to find, whether it's through the draft, free agency, or anything else, and you have found the best one, ensuring that you keep that as your foundation so you can figure out, we'll figure out what we need to do around that. I look forward to this deal dispelling a lot of those second contract quarterback myths, if they haven't been already, right. And if that hasn't been something that you've let fall by the wayside already, let what Patrick Mahomes is surely about to do be the thing that helps you out.
And there's not anyone, there's always someone, but the overriding majority of people, like, yeah, I get it. I understand why you pay him this much money. And there's actually a way you could make this contract work and say, it's actually very team friendly, believe it or not. But we do have to deal with Major League Baseball continuing to find a way to play and really being their own worst enemy in a lot of this, Junior. I mean, the Nationals had to shut down their summer camp because of a spate of tests and a spate of lack of results waiting for tests to find out whether or not the players were indeed testing positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, so their GM came out and said, per MLB's protocol, all players and staff were tested for COVID-19 on Friday, July 3rd. 72 hours later, we have yet to receive the results of those tests. We cannot have our players and staff work at risk. Therefore, we have canceled our team schedule workout this morning. We will not sacrifice the health and safety of our players and staffs without accurate, timely testing. It's simply not safe for us to continue with summer camp. Major League Baseball needs to work quickly to resolve issues with the process in their lab. Otherwise, summer camp and the 2020 season are at risk. Like, one workout is a drop in the bucket at this point, considering right. All we've lost. So this is just to send a message. Like, these teams are firing shots back at Rob Manfred and the league office, saying this isn't how we're going to live during all this.
Yeah, and it's not just them. Several other teams have had some complaints and said, look, we're supposed to be testing every other day. We've gotten here. We've been here for a few days. We haven't had another test. We're still waiting for the results of the first test. It just seems like...
So, well, this is where it gets worse, is Major League Baseball addresses the delays in the COVID testing and said it was caused partially by the July 4th holiday weekend, and they didn't expect those problems to continue. They made this statement after both the Nats and the Astros shut down their Monday workouts because of what happened Friday. Sorry? No.
Yeah.
Like, what? And this is one of those instances where I'm sure there are realities of the situation with whatever lab they're using, maybe the staffing for that, because it is a holiday weekend. Like, that, like, I'm sorry. It's one of those instances where that cannot happen if you're Major League Baseball at this juncture, given all the bad blood that's already been spilled in this.
Yeah. I just, like, if you're going to say it was the 4th of July weekend, well, then you knew the 4th of July weekend was coming when you started all this. So you needed to factor that into the equation as part of the process and maybe talk to the labs you're dealing with saying, hey, we're going to need to have these results even though it's a holiday weekend. I've worked plenty of holidays. You just worked the 4th of July. That's not a, well, we can't find a way to work around it situation anymore.
Especially not in the middle of a global pandemic when you're trying to restart your already kind of bootleg season. Like, that's not how it gets to go in all this. We're supposed to be talking about the MLB unveiling their schedule today.
Right.
Like, they had a real tangible thing that is coming out today and doing that. And instead, people are going to understandably spend time worrying if we're even going to get to that based on the rate that they're going.
It's like they were worried about the money and weren't concerned about the other thing, like Mark Teixeira said on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio.
We should have been having more conversations about the safety of players and staff while we were bickering about dollars and cents and labor. And unfortunately, now that we got through the dollars and cents and we agreed on a 60-game season, it's almost like we're trying to play catch-up with this testing and figuring out how to pull off a season.
It just, look, baseball had a golden opportunity to find a way to be the first sport back. Instead, they found a way to make it about money and be the last sport to come together with a plan to try and return. And they were focusing, he's 100% right, on the money as opposed to how are they logistically going to play during a pandemic. And that's why you hear so many players. We just had a couple of others decide to opt. Nick Markakis of the Braves decided to opt out after speaking with Freddie Freeman, who has COVID-19, and talking to him about the experience he's having. And, you know, you still have to wonder. I'm wondering if Buster Olney nailed it all along when he said 5% they start the season, 0% we actually see a World Series champion.
Hey, look, we're supposed to be talking about Gerrit Cole and the Yankees playing defending champion Nationals on July 23rd. 14 games played on July 24th, including the Rangers at the new Globe Life Field that we were all supposed to be making fun of together for looking like a very poorly constructed grill.
Correct.
And instead, we're not going to get to do any of that today because we have watched a group of people operate like every group project I was ever in college, where you spend so much time arguing about who's going to do what part and how many slides you're going to do and where are we going to have the meetings and all this. And finally, we just showed up for the presentation, and thank God in the intro to entrepreneurship, we got one kid whose dad started a company and now it's all on him. And that's essentially what Jeff Passan said when he talked to SportsCenter last night, that it is going to fall squarely on the shoulders of the players.
If they didn't forecast issues at the beginning, then they are far more naive than any of us realize. And I think they are inveterate planners. This plan just fell through and it was a mistake and it came back to bite them. Because when you're trying to come back in the middle of a pandemic, you do have to get everything right. And that's the problem. There is no margin for error for Major League Baseball right now. And all they're hoping going forward is not just that the testing is going to be taken care of, but that the players are not going to look at this as a sign that this isn't going to work and start breaking the protocols that are in place, that they're going to continue distancing at the stadium, that they're going to be responsible outside the stadium, that they're going to respect the idea that the only way a season gets off the ground is with them leading the way.
And that's what tends to happen in all these situations, is it tends to fall back on the players to basically, and I mean, hell, any walk of life and any line of work can appreciate that a lot of times you got to go out there and make your bosses right.
Yeah.
Like, because it's going to fall on you, because as the public-facing portion of this operation, the way Major League Baseball's players are, all of the rest of this ineptitude is going to mean very little to a bunch of people in polite society going through a pandemic. They're just going to continue to look at these players like a lot of people did. Now, it was better than I expected during the negotiation as far as the hate levied toward players and all this, but when it comes to, all right, you're expected to be back out there playing games, I have a feeling there are going to be a lot of people with a lot less patience for the front-facing portion of the product.
Yeah, look, we had Marla Rivera on with us yesterday, and she brought up, because we talked for a variety of issues about Mike Trout and him out there working out with a mask on, and his mother tweeting, if Mike Trout can work out with a mask on, you can wear a mask. And Mike Trout still isn't sure if he's going to go through with this. He's still not 100% sure that he is going to go through with this process. He's there working out now, and he's still trying to figure out, is it worth it? And you see things like this, and I'm sure guys like Mike Trout and others who had some hesitancy to begin with are like, wait a minute, can we actually, do we have a cohesive plan that we can stick to? Is any of this worth anything?
It's not fun showing up to the group project presentation and realizing that none of the other people on your team have even seen the slides before.
Right.
Like, I have seen that cold, dead look in someone's eyes when they are looking up at the slides at the presentation day and reading them for the first time. It is a dark feeling to be the one person up in that group who understands and put this together and watching that look of utter shock that you couldn't even read the email that I sent to you guys with the slides that I made.
It is amazing how many situations in life do come back to middle school, right?
Man, college. Okay. I watched this happen in college.
We did that in like the eighth grade, and I was like, really? Am I the only one? And they were just like, yeah, you go ahead.
Group projects suck, man. That's its own separate
day. It's the worst. And this group project so far, not off to a great start. Let's just be clear. Hopefully they can get this thing righted, and baseball will actually have a season, and Buster Olney will be proven wrong.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. Trey, we were just talking. I mean, first, we've literally spent every break and every waking moment. Like, you and I were just texting last night. Like, we need to just sit in here geek about Patrick Mahomes' contract all day. And we realized that when we lurk and dipped our toe into the rest of the world of sports, like going back to Major League Baseball and their tire fire group project metaphor that we landed on, it did bring up and get some interesting tweets in here. At Golic and Wingo, I want to hear everyone's worst group project experience.
Oh, God.
Because this one had a silver lining, though. Jose Gonzalez tweeted in, I met my wife during a group project. I was that guy. We talked about Major League Baseball right now is that guy in the group project that gets to the day of the presentation and is seeing the slides for the first time.
Yeah.
He goes, I was that guy. I didn't know half of what was going on because I was too busy flirting with my now wife.
Listen, time well spent. Time well spent.
It's a worthy investment of your time. So at Golic and Wingo, give us your worst group project experiences, because I always think these are hilarious.
They are usually a disaster and a dumpster fire, but that one worked out for Jose, no doubt about it. So before we get into other ramifications, let's just sort of lay in the base parameters as we can what the Patrick Mahomes deal is. It's a 10-year extension, which means it's really a 12-year deal. It includes $477 million in guaranteed mechanisms and the ability for Mahomes to have outs if guaranteed mechanisms aren't exercised. So what exactly is a guaranteed mechanism? Because that's, look, as we all know, in any NFL contract, there's the number and there's the real number. And this number, these two numbers are actually closer than you might think. So a guaranteed mechanism, according to an NBC Sports article, amounts to new terminology as far as NFL contracts are concerned. It sounds like rolling guarantees that apply each and every year, forcing the Chiefs to commit to Mahomes early in a given offseason, presumably in March. If they don't want to make the commitment for the next season in any given offseason, then they'd cut him and he'd become a free agent. Dear Lord, let that happen once. Let Patrick Mahomes be on the free agent market to see how much that would be worth. So if you break it down a little farther and look at this fully guaranteed mechanism, basically, usually that's right after the start of the league year, which is every year in March. So right now, by signing the contract, he got $63 million guaranteed. After the third day in the 2021 league year, which would be next March, the guaranteed money goes up to $103 million. After the third day of the 2022 season, it goes up to $141 million. 2023, it goes up to $180. 2024, 183, and then it gets spicy. 2025, 222. 2026, 274. 2027, 329. 2028, 374. 2029, 424. 2030, 439. And 2031, $477 million.
Yeah, it is for a deal. And again, the way that it happened yesterday for everyone is we were getting these parameters in parts. And so we got the length and obviously the total dollar amount of the contract very early on in this. And most looked at this and started speculating, would it be tied to a percentage of the cap? Right. Would it have, you know, clauses in there that would continue based on other contracts to be tied to that to make him the highest paid player in the sport? And we saw, and we kind of floated through and worked through all those things before we found out the true details in all of this. Which is, you know, a 10-year deal sounds like it's a huge win for the team at first. A guy like Patrick Mahomes in 5 years is going to be worth far more than $45 million a year if things keep progressing the way they tend to do in the NFL. But when you look at the rest of this and you see what's going on and you see, all right, no, the ball really is in his court unless certain great things happen for him. And those things not happening would come at tremendous financial devastation for the team. Like the dead cap numbers and all this, were they to cut him before any of these March dates when everything starts to become fully guaranteed, are catastrophic. Like nine-digit catastrophic in dead cap money. So in all of that, if he doesn't get that, he gets to test true free agency. Like, yeah, he gets the thing. So it is a win. It is exactly what it should have been. Patrick Mahomes should have walked into these negotiations with the Chiefs with eight arms, yes, in this one, while the Chiefs went in with one tied behind their back. And yeah, everyone walk out willingly patting each other on the back.
Yes, and take one of these eight arms and put $100 million on each one of them, basically. So there's this contract. And, of course, it is the thing in the NFL. Look, for a while, Eli Manning had a higher salary than Peyton Manning. And I don't think anyone's going to say Eli Manning was a better quarterback than Peyton Manning. It's not true. So it's just the way it works, right? It was your turn to kick the can, and you get to be the highest paid player in the NFL. So we have another couple of quarterbacks that are out there waiting to get paid, both in the state of Texas, by the way. Dak Prescott, who has just a few days left to try and work out a long-term deal with the Cowboys, or he plays under the $31.4 million cap hit in 2020. And then there's Deshaun Watson's deal. Jeff Darlington, our ESPN NFL insider and resident Florida man, on what this deal means for both Dak and Deshaun.
Speaking with some people about both Watson and Prescott's deals before this got done, I remember saying to somebody about Dak's deal, like, hey, what happens if Mahomes gets his deal done before Dak? Does that all of a sudden make it even harder for the Cowboys to sign him? And look, that's going to be up to Dak and his representation, how they allow this to dictate those terms. But from what I've understood, Patrick Mahomes is in a different air. There's no sense that teams will say, players will say, hey, Patrick Mahomes got this, I deserve this too. I think everybody around the league understands this was going to be an unprecedented contract for an unprecedented player.
And all of this is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And you know, normally it would not be that way, but I do feel like everyone understands he's that dude. What he gets, you're not going to get. You like to say all the time, a rising tide lifts all ships, and that's true, but there's no way that neither Dak nor Deshaun are going to get this kind of valued contract.
Yeah, I mean, what tends to happen in the like in sports circles, when we say a rising tide lifts all ships, it means it allows the next ship to jump the ship that was up top. That's not going to happen here. Like, Patrick Mahomes could, should, and will spend the majority of his career, I'd imagine, as the highest paid quarterback in the league, should things all continue to go well. Because remember, we see a 10-year deal, and what I see is plenty of points in there where the Chiefs are likely going to want to do a new, you know, do a different extension, move money around, give them a big signing bonus so they can amortize more of it over the life of a contract.
Make like, more money.
There's going to be a lot of clever accounting and a lot of big checks handed to Patrick Mahomes along the way in this, I'd imagine. For the other guys involved, it just means you get to ask for more money. None of them are going to get to ask for Patrick Mahomes' money. Like, we talk about resetting markets all the time. Rarely is it reset $10 million over what another guy in Russell Wilson, who is unequivocally one of the best three quarterbacks in the NFL.
And also a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
And a guy that anyone would love to build a team on and bend over backwards still for. And we all look at Patrick Mahomes jumping him by $10 million a year on average and go,
Yeah, I mean, that's the stunning part of the contract. I have yet to meet someone who I know and considered enlightened in the NFL that says, this is a terrible deal. I mean, it's just not there. There's no, I can't believe they did that sort of scenario with what they're paying him.
All of it's just hilarious. We don't see 10-year deals in the sport of football. The amount of times I was making sure it wasn't a Dern Schurfter yesterday going off with this. Four players in North American sports have deals that will take them into the 2030s.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes and three baseball players.
Yeah.
Like, that's how the world lives. And the hilarious part of all this is I saw the social media reaction from so many dudes, his teammates. It was all hilarious. And he exchanged notes. Trey Young tweeted at him and said, Pat, dinner's on you the next time we link up. And Mahomes' response was very appropriate and a very good reminder, where he basically said, I got you, bro, because I know you're going to get me back at some point. Like, at some point, Trey Young and a lot of these young NBA players are going to sign deals that are comparable.
Right.
Because the NBA is going to continue to watch money skyrocket after we get through this, you know, awkward couple of years in this. And that TV money is going to keep hitting for them. And basketball players get these long, fully guaranteed, inordinate contracts. And Trae Young is going to do it being nowhere near as good at his job as Patrick Mahomes is at his.
That's exactly right. We were having this discussion off air. And it's cool that they're going to do that. And you're right. Trae Young will get that deal. But in no universe does someone say Trae Young is as good at his job that Patrick Mahomes is at his. And that's the difference in how the NBA money is spent and how the NFL money is spent. And that's what makes this contract so unique.
I can say it's a reminder in the NFL that you have to be so good at the right position in order to get paid money that resembles some of these other sports. It's just tougher because of the violent nature of the sports and all the things we know about it.
He's 24 years old. He's already an MVP and a Super Bowl champion and a Super Bowl MVP. Although you could argue that he probably shouldn't have been the MVP of that Super Bowl. And I think that you can make a valid point. Irrelevant now because he is. And now he's, so is that 20? Think about this for Patrick Mahomes for a second. He's 24 years old. He's had an NFL MVP. He's one of only three quarterbacks in the history of the game to throw for 50 touchdown passes in a season. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. And before he turned 25, he also got the highest valued contract in the history of professional sports in this country. My God.
Again, I said you could just make up stats and accolades for Pat, and I believe it at this point. Paul Hembakides, who's a great researcher around here at ESPN, tweeted this out yesterday. I mean, this is hilarious. The longest active NFL streaks of quarterbacks with a QBR over 50. It's on a 0 to 100 scale, so assume 50 is dead. Is average.
Dead average.
It's the line between good and bad. Deshaun Watson has 3. Russell Wilson has 3. Derek Carr has 4. Matthew Stafford has 9. Those are the longest active streaks of games with a QBR over 50. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes has a streak, an active streak of 36. Including playoffs, Patrick Mahomes has started 36 games. In other words, he has never had what you would statistically consider a bad game.
Yeah. And let's just stick on that for 1 second to take it even one step further. The worst game of Patrick Mahomes' career was the Super Bowl that he won until he decided, I didn't want it to be. I mean, he was not playing well. He was underthrowing wide receivers. He threw 2 interceptions, and I think both in the second half, which were his first 2 postseason interceptions ever. And then he decided, you know what? It's bleeping time to win this thing. Can we run WASP? Boom. And just like that, it wasn't his worst game ever. I mean, he was having his worst game of his career until he decided it's time to win, and he just changed everything. It's ridiculous.
So I know Dan and Stu are off this week, so I have to do this in his honor.
Okay.
Come bursting into the room, Stu Gotts, out of breath, wheezing, thankfully not through his nose because of Navaj, but coming in wheezing just because of the rest of his unhealthy lifestyle.
Darts.
And he looks up and he holds one finger in the room right now and he looks at all of us and he says, but how many Super Bowls do the Chiefs need to win in the next decade for this to be worth it?
That's an excellent question.
It's the question we have to ask.
He's right. I mean, heaters or no heaters, Stu Gotts is absolutely right to ask that question. And that is a debate we will have going forward, because if you're a Chiefs fan now, you waited 50 years, 50 between Super Bowl wins, Super Bowl IV and Super Bowl 54. You ain't signing up for that anymore. Your expectations are completely different. Completely different. We'll have that discussion a little bit later. What are realistic and real expectations for the Kansas City Chiefs now that they have the best player in football locked up for 12 years? And all of that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meanwhile, let's get you caught up on everything else with a little bit of what's trending right here.
We're going to do that as soon as I pull it up. I was too busy geeking out over Patrick Mahomes.
You're doing good. I'm proud of you. I just want you to know that.
A lot of stuff.
Change starts
today.
With you. I just want you to know that.
10 years, $500 million. Help me. All right. Some very exciting news around here. Disney and Colin Kaepernick announce a partnership deal. Kaepernick will be featured in a documentary series produced by ESPN Films as a part of a first look deal with the Walt Disney Company Corporation. The partnership will focus on telling scripted and unscripted stories that explore race, social injustice, and the quest for equality. Quote, I'm excited to announce this historic partnership with Disney across all platforms to elevate black and brown directors, creators, storytellers, and producers, and to inspire the youth with compelling and authentic perspectives, Kaepernick said in a statement. I look forward to sharing the docuseries on my life story, in addition to many other culturally impactful projects that we are developing. Our former colleague, and now I guess we can say colleague again, Jemele Hill, also going to be helping out and leading the charge on this. So a big breaking news there and a lot of content on the way. Meanwhile, Major League Baseball unveils a shortened 2020 schedule. The Yankees, Nationals, and the Dodgers and Giants headline opening night. The defending champion Nats will host Garrett Cole and the Yankees on July 23rd, followed by that Giants-Dodgers game in the second half, the 10 o'clock version of that ESPN broadcast. After opening night, 14 games are going to be played on July 24th, including the first game at the Rangers' new Globe Life Field that has been universally roasted against the Rockies. Over the 60-game regular season, teams will play their four divisional opponents 10 times each, and the other 20 games will be against interleague opponents in the same geographical area. And lastly, in the NBA, Dwight Howard says he'll join the Lakers in Orlando for the restart. Had been in question for a little bit. Dwight Howard told CNN last night that he will be joining the team in Florida, noting, quote, I feel like we have a great opportunity, the Lakers do, for winning the title this year. Howard also said he'll donate the team salary he earns in the bubble to the charitable initiative Breathe Again. Breathe Again is all about turning around the negatives in your life and putting everything that is positive into perspective. The movement also, quote, bridges a gap between races and people to end racism and hatred. Dwight Howard scheduled to make, I believe, a little over $700,000 over the rest of this season. That is what's trending. It is brought to you by 303. Oh, nope. Hard stop.
Scratch that.
What's Trending is brought to you by Redbox, like it always is. Like I read every day around here, and like I forgot in this moment because I am sweaty. What's Trending is brought to you by Redbox. Redbox has nonstop excitement with new movies and summer blockbusters. Don't miss Becky, an action-packed thriller starring Lulu Wilson, Kevin James, and Joel McHale. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
All right, Golican Wingo here with you. We'll have a much bigger discussion on the NBA as they're beginning to go forward in just a little bit. But we had the news yesterday, or over the weekend, that we have Fight Island all set and ready to roll, correct?
Yes.
Yes. And Jorge Masvidal is finally getting his comeuppance, or getting his chance to have a title fight after all that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ariel Helwani had a discussion with Jorge Masvidal about his situation. And let's just say that Jorge Masvidal and the way he described what he plans to do in the ring on Fight Island was legitimately terrifying.
Could you give us a preview? How do you see it actually going down?
Me baptizing his in front of the whole world.
So you think you knock him out?
Cold blooded as can be. He's His body's grasping for air. I got my hand raised over him. Just going to baptize him, man, for the world to see. It's going to be violent.
Early or late?
It's going to start violent. It's going to end violent. I don't know, first round, fifth round. I don't know, but it's gonna, just like I said in the Nate, in the Till, in the Ashken fight, and every fight I've ever been a part of, I'm going to give it everything I have in my being to leave this guy unconscious and for a long time. Now, I don't like to just touch that little button and then they go to sleep and then they wake up and they're like trying to wrestle with the referee. No, no, no. You know me, I like to hold that button down. I want to make sure that when you come back to this world, you're spaced out. You're in an ambulance headed somewhere and your cornerman got to tell you what happened because you got no recollection of it. And especially with a guy like Usman, I wouldn't mind if the referee trips on the way to stopping me and I get in a couple extra shots, you know?
Yikes.
This is like that scene. You remember that scene in Wayne's World when Garth is freaking out on Wayne and the plane's going overhead?
Yes.
And he's like starts to like absolutely just go nuts and then it comes back and he had no idea how he got to that point. Like all of a sudden when he starts talking about it's going to take him a while to come to, and I'm like, it's one of those things that we know when we turn on a UFC fight, and I hear Dan Le Batard talk all about the blood sport nature of this and, you know, our partnership with it, but you know exactly what you're walking into.
You're signing up for it.
And if I turn on UFC 251 this weekend and what he described is exactly what I saw there, we would all go, all right, we got what we paid for in this. As messed up and weird and like twisted as that is, you know what you expect when you turn on that product. Hearing it spelled out like that by someone calmly, like I was unnerved. I was unnerved in a way that I didn't plan on. Like, I'm not a squeamish person. I posted a video yesterday on Twitter of Quentin Nelson erasing Melvin Ingram on a help slide on the offensive line, knowing full well, having been a part of those moments and understanding the violence that entails, but there was still something different. And it's just a reminder, like, I mean, it's a blood sport. It is what it is. Like, exactly what we heard described there is what we're used to and what we should expect. But hearing it said like that is just so different. It's like reading it on the page.
Well, when I heard that for the first time, I the first thing I thought about was Mike Tyson. I can't remember what fight it was afterwards. And it was after a pretty impressive knockout by him. And he just went on, I want to eat your heart. I want to eat his children. And then you brought up, but that's an adrenaline, like, blood rush in the moment where you are just at a fever pitch. It's sort of understandable. It's kind of like Richard Sherman's reaction. Don't try me with a sorry blank receiver after the NFC Championship game. This is just, like, cold and calculated, like, ahead of time. It just feels like a different level.
Yeah, but it's, and you know what? It's like a reminder, I guess, to myself. Like, no, this is what we all sign up to watch. Like, this is the violence in all sports. That Spencer Hall writes about this really well when it comes to football and college football in general. But just, like, the violence that we condone in all this stuff. Yeah. And, like, I guess I shouldn't recoil as much when I hear it because I'm going to sign up and watch UFC 251. I'm going to watch Jorge Masvidal as he goes out there and hopefully executes on that in his world while Kamaru Usman tries to do the exact same thing to him.
By the way, have you seen the pictures they put out there at Fight Island already?
No, not yet.
It's absolutely spectacular. And they're going to be doing it, like, in the morning for them, so it'll be prime time for us. It's going to be a fascinating spectacle.